Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good and kind and glorious. We see your beauty when we look outside. See how you can make everything change instantly as snow falls. See your goodness and kindness when we remember Jesus. As we take the little piece of bread and drink the juice and the bitterness, that's to remind us of blood. The breaking, it's his body breaking as the bread breaks under our teeth and we remember what you did. We know once again in our hearts that you are kind and loving and good. And you come for us. You rescue us. We thank you for that. Now as we open your word, I pray that you would draw us to you. Help us know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're asking why. Why? Questions that you would raise your hand and say, why this? And, you know, sometimes some of the questions we've looked at, whoops, sorry about that. People might say, don't ask that question. That's a hard one. Some of the questions have not been that difficult. Here's one. This is more of an introspective question. Why do I feel like I'm bad, like I'm not good enough? Why on the inside do I feel like I'm not a good person? Why? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that you just aren't good enough, that you're not a good person, that if people knew who you really were, they would know what you know, that you're maybe decent, but you're not good, definitely not good enough. That's a reality. That's a thing that we carry around with us many times throughout life as we go in every area of our life, whether it's in our jobs or with our family, with our friends. It's something that's always on the inside, underneath the surface, not quite good enough. And I know I'm not. I know I'm bad. If you knew who I really was, what I've done before, the stuff that I'm thinking and feeling right in this moment, you would know that I'm not good, that I'm bad. It's feeling that I'm not worthy, that I'm not enough, that I'm not good enough, that I never will be good enough. And it's feeling that in every area of life. My parents would be happier with me if only I was better. My boss isn't thrilled with me. I'm one step away from being replaced. My friends, everything's good there now, but what if they found out about this thing or the thing I said, and then now they're not my friends anymore, and God definitely cannot be happy with me. I know, because he knows me, and I know me, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's why we're never satisfied, completely satisfied with ourselves, because we know ourselves. That's why, depending on whatever topic we choose to talk about on Sunday mornings and we open up the Bible, at some topics you feel there's a collective looking down in, I'm not worthy, head hanging, because we know we're not worthy. I know my thoughts and my fears and the stuff that I would do, but I don't because I don't dare. I know my emotions. And no matter what I put on the outside. So when do you feel that way? What makes you feel that way in your life? What makes you feel that you're not worthy? Why? Why do we feel like that? Why do we feel like that? Why do we feel like we're bad, we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we have imperfections? Why do we feel like that? Well, psychology might put a name to it. Psychology would call it what? Imposter syndrome, right? And psychology would even give an explanation and a solution to it. The explanation is you feel like you're not good enough, but that's only because you don't believe that you are as good as you actually are. So you need to believe in your goodness. The Bible gives a much more plausible explanation for why universally we walk around feeling like we're not good enough, and that's because we're not. We're not. It's because we've rebelled against the one who made us. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is the explanation. This is why I walk around with my head hung down on the inside anyway, is if the right topic comes up in conversation, I feel like a complete loser. It's because, it all goes back to this. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned, that's disobeyed God, rebelled against their creator, and fall short of the glory of God. And this on the heels of, look at verse 10 through 18. This might be a good place to start your morning devotions tomorrow morning. Read Romans 3, 10 through 18. There's a scathing indictment of who we are as people. We're bad. We rebel against God. Everyone, we fall short of the glory of God. Verse 23 says, what does that mean? We're made in the image of God to reflect who he is, to reflect his glory, to be miniature reflections of the one who made us. And because we rebel against him and take our lives into our own hands and make our own decisions and do what we want, we don't reflect his glory. We reflect who we are. We don't reflect who he is. We fall short of the glory of God. We don't live up to who he is, who he wants us to be, and more than anything, who he made us to be. And that's why we have this persistent sensation of not good enough, because we're not. We're not good enough. And that's why maybe I'm not going to completely fail at love or as a parent or my job or sobriety, but I know that I could. I know that I could, and I know that I'm not good enough, even when I'm not completely failing. Why? Because we're not worthy, we're incomplete, we're not good, we're not sufficient. We've rebelled against our Creator. So what can we do to become better than we are? I'll tell you what we normally do. We normally try to find our worth and our value in what we do. So if I do better, I'll be better. If I do more, I'll become more worthy. If I do enough, I'll become the person that I know I could be and that I know I should be. We create our own code of conducts, our own code of conduct of this is stuff that I always do, and this is stuff that I would never do. Whether it's a Christian code of conduct or whether it's a moral code of conduct because you don't believe in God, or whether it's a code of conduct, and we do this a lot. Probably don't think you do, but we do this, a code of conduct based on I do what they don't do. Because that makes me better than them, and who I am is who they aren't. They're bad, and I'm not like them, at least. We create codes of conduct, and we're not consistent. You know, a fun little thing to do is listen to, it's kind of mean, but it's kind of fun. When you talk to people, you get to know people, listen to what their code of conduct is, like what makes them worthy in their eyes, what they do and don't do that makes them better than everyone else, that makes them feel like they're a good person. And you could tell as you're talking to me or anyone, you could tell what that is. Okay, suss that out as you're talking to someone, hear that, and then find all the inconsistencies. Yeah, I'm a good person. I'm nice to all my friends, except that person. I hate their guts and I would do anything to hurt them. But what makes me a good person is I'm nice to everybody else. We're not consistent with our moral code, but we have them and we live by them because it makes us feel like the more that I do, the better that I'll be, and I'll become a better person because I'll do more. So you say, well, what's the problem with that? Wouldn't it be good if we were all running around trying to be good? Wherever our moral code came from, it kind of comes from the same place. So if we're all trying to live by a moral code, that means better people, right? Well, yes and no. It's good to try to behave better. But listen, where that falls down is trying to become better, to be better, to be a better person, to be worthy, to be good enough based on what I do. Because here's the thing. What I do doesn't change who I am. I can be full of bitterness and anger. Just because I smile on Sunday mornings on the outside and you think that I'm a nice person doesn't change who I really am on the inside. I'm not saying that I am that, but I don't know, maybe. Point is, acting different on the outside doesn't change who you and I are on the inside. We can't change who we are by what we do, because you can never do enough. You can never be good enough. It's those inconsistencies. Whatever your code is, whatever you say, this is how I live now, and this means I'm a good person. Just think about the last week. Think about the last month. Think about all the times that you failed, all the times you kind of overlooked because they would break your sense of, I do all this stuff, and so I'm a good person. Well, I didn't do all the stuff, and so I'm not a good person. I'll just overlook those times. You can never do enough. Never do enough to be good enough in the present, and you can definitely never do enough to pay for the past. I can't do enough to pay for the bad stuff that I've done in the past. I can't become good enough. I can't do enough to become good enough, which is why we never feel whole. We never feel like we're complete. We never feel like we've done enough to become good enough, because we can't. So what do we do then? Well, we compensate. We run around compensating for not being able to do enough to become good enough. And so how do we compensate? Well, we hide. I just said one of the ways, biggest way we compensate, we hide the stuff that we do that we know would make, is just evidence that I'm not a good person. When I explode in anger, and then I hide it. I don't know where that came from. Don't tell anybody about that. I burnt myself. this is not this isn't more than what it looks like. It was a burn. I had a pair of rubber gloves on because I have dry skin, making coffee last week. My wife had some ladies from church in the living room. They were getting ready to have a Bible study. So imagine that scene. And one of the things I tell my boys is, be careful the doors you open when you're going through life, because the doors that you open, think of every sin as like a door in a long hallway. And oh, this is way off track, but just go with me. Every sin, every kind of sin is like a door in a hallway, and they're all tightly closed. And if you open one of those doors, even after you leave the room and close the door back behind you, it's always kind of cracked open. It never closes all. It's like my garage, the inside garage door. You got to push on it. It never closes. And then in the middle of the night, it opens up. And it's never completely closed. You can't close it. So if I open up a door to this particular sin in my life, I can repent. I can turn away. I can leave that behind completely. God can give me victory over it. That will always be a weakness for me, right? That will always be, and some of us know, yeah, I know that, because there's things that are weaknesses for me now, completely overcome them, but they are, if I ever were to fall into sin, it would be in this area, in this area, in this area. We know that because those are doors we've opened. You can never close the door completely behind you. So, making coffee, rubber gloves on, dry skin on my hands, need to put some lotion on, didn't this morning, making coffee. And I do the pour over coffee, delicious. So I had the thing, and I wasn't quite done, but they were about to start the Bible study. Keep that in mind. They were about to start the Bible study, and so there's still water in the filter. I took the thing, the carafe, and I put it over there because I was done, and there was still water in the filter, and I didn't put it right, and it spilled on my wrist. But because I was wearing gloves, it just made a line, so it looks like I tried to cut my wrist or something. I didn't. Burned it. But it hurt. Hurt like the dickens. I didn't say anything. Now, I walked out, I looked at my wife, I said, I burnt my wrist. And she was like, ooh. And all the ladies were like, you didn't even yell or anything. It's like, yeah, you know why I didn't yell? I didn't say this. They thought I was tough. I let them live with that. That's okay. I didn't yell because one of the doors that I opened when I was a lot younger was saying words that I shouldn't say. And there was a Bible study about to start, and inside of me, I knew if I let myself yell, what might come out may be something I'll have to repent of later, and I'm not going to say something I might have to repent of later in front of all the ladies from church, so I didn't say anything. I covered it up. That doesn't mean that wasn't inside of me. Just because no one heard it doesn't mean we can cover it up. We're just compensating for the bad person that we are on the inside. We're not good enough. And when it does come out, we justify it. Don't know where that came from. If I only yelled at you because you did this. We boast about who we are and the good stuff we've done. You ever wonder when you're talking to somebody and they're going on about how good they are and all the stuff they've done, and they're just boasting about stuff, and it has nothing to do with you and them, and you're just like, why? Why are you telling me this? I mean, yeah, I'm glad you can talk to me, but why? Why are you boasting about who you are and how good of a person that you are to me? Have you ever thought that? The next time it happens, you'll think it. It's because you're compensating. I don't feel like I'm good, so I'm going to talk about how good I am so that I think that you'll think that that I'm better than I am, and I'll think that I'm going to convince myself by talking about it. Why do we judge people and criticize people? All the gossip and all that. Can you believe what he did and what she did and that thing and that? Why do we talk bad about people? It's, we know why. We learned this when we were kids. They're only talking bad about you to make themselves feel better. Yeah, that's why. Because we feel better. We're compensating because we don't feel good about ourselves. So if I can talk bad about other people, I feel a little bit better about myself and because of how bad they are. All that compensation has to do with looking for and finding my value and my worth in who I am and what I do. Why do we try to do that? Why do we try to make ourselves better? Well, it goes back to the rebellion. It goes back to Romans 3:23. It goes back to our rebellion against God. We're trying to play God. What is something that God does? He gives people worth. He gives people value. He makes people complete. And when I try to make my own code of conduct and live according to my own code of conduct to convince myself and convince you that I am the good person that I am and work, do more and be better to become a better person, I'm playing God. I'm trying to make myself better. But you know what? It doesn't work, because only the true God is the one who can truly give us worth and give us value, can truly make us complete. And we are bad because we've rebelled against him. And he's the only one who can take that away and who can perfect us. That's what the gospel is. Look at Galatians chapter 2. You can literally look anywhere in Galatians. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 2. This is what the gospel is. All the other religions, think about it. This is a fun thing to think about. Just put it like in a little part in your mind and then think about this later. Every other religion, every other world religion has a, no matter how different they look on the outside, no matter how many arms their gods have or how they light the incense or whatever the thing is, every other world religion has one thing in common at the center of what it is. It's you become a better person by doing more things, by being a better person. You act better, you become better. Christianity does not say that. That's what the gospel is the opposite of that. The gospel is not you become better by doing more. That's not our system. Our system is not I get baptized and then I go to church and then I behave and I stop doing bad stuff and I become the better person that I know that I am and that I should be. That is not our system. Our system is that what Jesus did on the cross is what gives us value. What Jesus did on the cross is what completes us. It's in Christ, not because of my works, that you and I can be complete and stand before the Father. That's the big idea. Look at Galatians chapter 2. In Christ, we're made complete. We're made whole, not because of what we do, but because of what he did. Galatians 2, oh, we're just dropping in. I hate dropping in like this. So this letter was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church because some false teachers had come in to this church, and they were telling them, you have to do more and be better. You have to do more. You'll be a better person. You'll be better. You'll be more acceptable to God if you do more. So your worth is tied to what you do. And in this case, it was obeying the Mosaic law. You have to obey the works of the law. You have to become circumcised. You have to obey the law. And then when you do that, then you'll become a better person. You'll be better in the eyes of God. And so Paul writes this letter to them to say no. And he says it quite emphatically. Read all the way through. Read to the end. He says no very emphatically. But he starts out by giving them a little bit of background. And then in chapter 2, he gives them an example, like a good preacher would do. He gives an example. He tells them a story. And listen to the story. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 11. But when Cephas, see, that would be more meaningful if we read the word Peter. That's the apostle Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, so he's telling these people in Galatia's story of something that happened in another town, I opposed him to his face. So right away, we know this is going to be, they knew, this is a dramatic story. This is Paul, the apostle, opposing Peter, the apostle, the one who Paul would go to and say, what should we do? And Peter would tell him, well, now Paul's opposing Peter. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. So he tells him right off the bat, he was wrong. I opposed him to his face because he was wrong. I was right in this argument for before. So he's going to tell them what he had done that was wrong. For before certain men came from James, that's from Jerusalem, he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, before Jesus and before the gospel, if you were a Jew, eating with Gentiles was something you would never do. They were unclean. That would make you unclean. What you did would make you unclean. And so Peter was doing this. But when they came, he drew back and seated himself, fearing the circumcision party. So it wasn't because he knew he was doing something wrong, but rather he drew away and he stopped eating with these people who weren't from his same race and his same background, because he didn't want the people who had come to visit to say things about him. And the rest of the Jews, so all the other Jews that were there in Galatia that were doing the same thing with Peter, acted hypocritically along with him. So they looked at what he was doing. They're like, okay, we're not going to eat our dinner with our Gentile brothers because, well, the guys from Jerusalem are here, and who knows what they'll say about us. We know what they'll say about us. So that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct, now listen what he's going to say, was mean, was hypocritical, when I saw that their conduct was making the Gentiles feel bad, no, look what he says. When I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. So this whole, I can eat dinner with Gentiles now, even though I'm a Jew, because I'm in Christ and we're all in Christ together, we're family, and there's neither Jew nor Greek or slave or free. We can eat dinner together. But now these people come and they're gonna criticize me, and they're gonna make me feel like what I'm doing makes me less of a person. My worth is tied to what I do, so I'm gonna stop doing that so that at least in their eyes, I don't look like a lesser person. He says, that's not just a mean thing to do. That's not a hypocritical thing to do. That's not in step with the truth. That cuts to the core of what the gospel is. I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not a Jew, how can you force a Gentile to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know. And then this is the heart of it. This is for him and this is for us. Yet we know. And I say this is for us because this is what Paul builds on for the rest of Galatians. This is the thing. He's telling the story to get to this point, and then the rest of the book, he's going to build on this for this argument. We know that a person is not justified. What's justified? It's made right. It's made perfect. It's made worthy. It's made enough. It's made to be a good person in the eyes of God, to be complete before God. All the things that we feel like we're not and we know that we aren't because of who we are, a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith, or putting their trust in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. It's what we know. It's what we feel. I can't do enough. Whether it's the Mosaic law or whether it's my own code of conduct that I make up today that makes me a better person, can't do enough to be good enough. I can't do enough to be good enough no matter how much I do. It's never enough. Paul says, yeah, you can't. That's right. No one will be justified by the works of the law. You won't be made right or complete or worthy. Only through putting your trust in Jesus, in Christ, you are made worthy. And Paul says, that's verse 14, that's the truth of the gospel. That's the foundation of everything. It's not that you work more and you become a better person because you do more. It's because if you're in Jesus, you are made to be justified, to be worthy, to be complete before God. And look at how he ends this in verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. He's saying if you could get good enough, if you could get good enough by doing enough, if you can become a good enough person based on what you do to become good enough, then Jesus didn't need to go to the cross, but you can't, so he did. So how does that work? How does it work? Paul's saying the thing there. He's saying that in Christ, you can become complete and whole. Everything we feel like we aren't, you can become that in the eyes of God. And in your own eyes, you can become that person. How does that work? One more verse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I debated just doing this verse today, but that story in Galatians is good. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him, God made Jesus, to be sin, to be bad, to be rebellion against the Father, made him to be sin who knew no sin. So Jesus was perfect. If anyone could say, I'm good enough because I've done enough, it was Jesus because he was perfect. But God made him to be sin. He put our rebellion on him so that in him, so when we're in Jesus, so in the cross, God put our rebellion, what makes us bad people, he put it on Jesus. And then when we enter into Jesus, when we repent and are baptized and give ourselves to him, when we're in him, we might become the righteousness of God. That's how in Christ God makes us complete and perfect. He takes our imperfection, our badness, and he puts it on Jesus in the cross. Jesus pays the price for it there. And then when you enter into Jesus, you receive his perfection. You receive the forgiveness that his blood bought, and you receive his perfect life placed over you so that in the eyes of God, God can look at you and say, yeah, you're justified, you're complete, you're good enough, you're worthy, you're whole. So what do we do? What should we do? We should, and I know this is hard, this is one of those applications that you'd say, yeah, that's going to be an impossible task, because we walk around feeling like we're not good enough, because we know we aren't. But here's what we should do. If what Paul said is true, we should look for, seek out, and find our worth in Jesus, not in doing more and being better. We should seek out and find our worth in Jesus. That means, listen, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you've never given yourself to Jesus, in this moment, you are what you do. You're as good as the worst thing you've ever done. You're as bad as the best thing that you could have done that you didn't do. That means you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You're not a good person. No one is. But you can become the perfection of God. You can become a person that God looks at and says, perfection, you're perfect. You couldn't be better than you are now. You can become, listen, you can become that person when you enter in to Jesus, when you make the decision to give yourself to him, to repent and be baptized, to say, I'm going to follow you. You're going to be the Lord of my life. Now for the rest of my life, you'll be my Lord. And God says, now you're forgiven. And now I put my perfection over you. And now you are worthy. And now you are complete in a way that nothing you could ever do, no matter how good of a person you became for the rest of your life, could make you. You are complete in me. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want to become that person, tell someone you can repent, you can be baptized, you can become the perfection of God in Christ, you can become good enough. If you're a Christian, what do we do if we're a Christian? This is a call. What did Paul say? It's by putting our trust, our faith in Christ. This is a call for us to believe what we believed at the beginning when we were baptized once again, to believe it again. If you're a Christian, you have it. You are, no matter how incomplete and unworthy you feel in this moment, you are complete. You are worthy. You are in Christ. You are good enough, more than good enough. You are perfect in the eyes of your Father because of what Jesus did in the cross for you, and you entered into him. And so maybe for you and I, it's just a call to remember. To remember that tomorrow as I'm walking through my day and I don't feel good. I don't feel that. I don't feel complete. I feel very incomplete. I feel like I got to do a lot more to even barely get up to a level where I'm like kind of happy with myself. Or I think about the thing that I did a long time ago or this other thing or the thing that I said yesterday or whatever the thing is. In that moment, repeating, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for me so that in him, this is the part to remember and repeat. Remember the whole, memorize all of 2 Corinthians 5:21, but memorize this last part especially. In him, I am the perfection of God. I am the perfection of God in Christ. I'm the perfection of God. When I say that, how I feel about myself changes. But because I'm saying in Christ, it doesn't change in a prideful way. It's not that I made myself better. The only reason I am the perfection of God is because I'm in Christ, but I am in Christ. So I am the perfection of God in Christ. And then I think it's a call for us to base our worth minute by minute, day by day on that. What makes me a good person? Did I do enough work today? Was I nice enough to my family? Did I do this? No.
What makes me who I am and complete and whole and worthy is that I am the perfection of God in Christ. And if we could say that and rest in that, that is living in accordance with the gospel. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. We thank you, God, because you tell us things that are almost impossible for us to believe. You tell us that in you, you make us perfect. You do that what we cannot do, no matter how much we try. You make us worthy. You make us complete. We thank you for that. God, I pray for those who are here this morning hearing that, that have never entered into you, that have never given themselves to you, that you would, through the power of your gospel, you would call them to you, that they would say, I want to be complete, I want to be whole, that they would surrender, repent, and be baptized and give themselves to you. I pray for those of us who have, that you would help us live this week fully aware, even repeating that, I'm the perfection of God in Christ, and that we would rest in that, and that our worth that you've given us will be what we truly base our worth on as we go through life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.